We use the practices of concentration, deliberately bringing the attention to the rhythm of the breath, the rhythm of the footsteps, developing mindfulness of the flow of everyday actions, entering buildings, leaving buildings, walking across the field, down corridors, eating, sitting down, standing up. We deliberately develop these practices to help train the attention to rest here in this present reality. To bring the attention to the actuality of experience, of the way things are. To train the mind not to wander off into abstractions, caught up in moods and ideas, fantasies, projections, memories, opinions. Concentration is principally for this purpose, to train the attention to rest easily, steadily, fully in the present, the reality of this moment. And when that attention is stabilized, when it is more steady, firm, grounded in the present reality, then we use the power of attention to explore the nature of experience. How in each moment our perception of our own being, the world, this mind, this body, this world, is fabricated, is put together. And these reflections on the five khandhas, the five attributes of body and mind that we recite in the morning, the qualities of anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, the emptiness of self. These are the tools that we use to help get to know, to understand and to analyze the very fabric of experience. The Buddha used a simple way of slicing the pie of body and mind. Just rough chunks of rupa, the body, physical form, vedana, feeling, sensation, sanya, perception, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, sankhara, mental formations, ideas, opinions, moods, intentions, memories, fantasies, the whole large array of mental activity, mental creations. And vijnana, discriminative consciousness, that aspect of cognizing that enables the mind to distinguish this from that. Vijnana literally means separative or discriminative knowing, discriminative knowledge. This is just one convenient way of slicing up the pie of body and mind, nama, the mental, and rupa, the material. Here is the body and mind, as we experience it moment by moment, day by day. And then we explore the fabric of experience, how this present reality is put together right now. Hearing, sanya, feeling, vedana, thinking, sankhara, rupa, the body, vijnana, discriminative consciousness. The act of cognizing. This simple way of dividing up experience is designed to help us see what's going on, how our reality is formed, how our perception of me and the world is put together. And in seeing how it's put together, then the illusions that so easily distract and confuse become causes for alienation and stress, insecurity, longing, fear, aversion and desire. We begin to see how those get caused. We see how the trick is done. Are these reflections that we recite in the morning? Rupang anichang, vedana anicca, sanya anicca, so on. Rupang anatta, vedana anatta, sanya anatta, sankara anatta, vijnanam anatta. These are not things that the Buddha is trying to make us believe, or some kind of ritual recitation. But they're our toolkit. They are a collection of surgical appliances to open up the system and explore how it works. Our tendency is to get drawn into feelings that we like, to react against feelings that we dislike. We get lost in thoughts that we cherish, thoughts that worry us, perceptions, beautiful things that we like, ugly things that we dislike. Beautiful tastes, unpleasant tastes. The attention is naturally drawn to the content. Our instinct, our conditioning, pulls the attention into the content of experience. Liking, disliking, approving, disapproving. Judging as self or other. But as long as the mind is lost in the content of experience, then the heart remains in a state of entrapment, entanglement, imprisonment. We're unconsciously creating the causes of alienation, insecurity, loneliness, incompleteness. Dukkha, in other words. Sokka parideva dukkha domana upayasa. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. So the Buddha encourages this simple kind of analysis, exploring, letting go of the content of experience to examine, to understand the process of experience. And by seeing how the process works, how the feelings, perceptions of me and the world get constructed, then the heart can be released from those prisons, freed from limitation, freed from bondage to like and dislike, self and other, past and future, approval and disapproval, freedom from bondage to habitual preferences. So these are a set of tools to bring to bear, to apply to our momentary experience. So when we hear a sound, rather than getting lost in whether we like or dislike or what the sound might mean, where it comes from, we can reflect. Sanyani cha. Perception is changing. Sanya anatta. That perception is not self. It has no owner. There's a hearing of my voice. It's hearing. But does that sound, that hearing, does it have an owner? What does it belong to? Is there a thing here which is the true possessor of an experience? Or rather, is it just a pattern of a perception, arising, passing away? There's knowing, there's awareness. But that knowing is not a person, not an individual, not a me that is the doer, that is the owner, the possessor of an experience. So we cultivate these forms of reflection. Not to create beliefs, like, I believe there is no self, but to explore. Is there an owner? Feels like me who's doing? Feels like me who's feeling? What is it that knows that me-ness? That I-ness? So we're not trying to get lost in tangles of philosophical speculation, but rather exploring the nature of our experience. To just let there be the feeling of I arising, passing away. The sensation of the body, the weight of the body on the cushion, known as a feeling. The hearing of a sound of my voice, arising and passing away. Now, in applying these kinds of reflection, when we let go of the content of experience and look instead at the process, there's a change in the heart. There's a shift of attitude. When it goes from being my feeling, my memory, my idea, my mood, to being perception is changing, feeling is changing, thought is changing. The body is not self. Feeling is not self. perception, thought, consciousness is not self. We're not just repeating the words, but exploring how, even though we say the, we describe things in terms of, I remember, I'm walking, I'm seeing, I'm hearing. When it's explored and examined, there's the recognition, oh, that's not really the case. For sure, there is the feeling of hearing, the feeling of the body's presence, its weight on the chair or the cushion. But the I am, that's added on. The me-ness that is the mind's habit to create. This is me feeling, me wondering, me sitting. When that's examined, it's recognized, oh, that feeling of I-ness is just another feeling. It's a sankhara. The feeling of I is not I. It's just another feeling arising and passing away. The feeling of me. Me-ness. That too is just another texture, tone of thought, mood, arising and passing away. The Buddha called these ahankara, made of I am, I am-ness, mamankara, mine-ness, the feeling of owning. And when these are explored, examined, then they're seen to be, you know, empty, ownerless formations. It's like the sound of my voice. The sound of a bird outside the building. Ownerless. Empty patterns in nature arising and ceasing. So we use these reflections on dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, anicca, uncertainty or transiency, anatta, not self, to help bring about this change of heart, this letting go, non-identification, freedom from entanglement. And in that moment, there is a recognition of, oh, it's not my thought, it's just thinking, arising and passing away. It's not my problem, me here and my problem over there, a solid real thing being experienced by a solid separate real me. That's not the case at all. Rather, what's experienced is in this moment, there's the appearance of fear. It feels like this. It fades away. It's ownerless. Unstable. The sound of a bird. A feeling in the body. A pain in the knee. Sensation in your back. In your face or your mouth. A flavor on the tongue. In that moment of recognizing, oh, there's just hearing. Feeling, tasting. It's not me and my problem, me and in here and the world out there. It's the Buddha mind, the wisdom mind, knowing the way things are. It's vijja, knowing, aware of Dhamma, the nature of things. And when that shift occurs within the heart, going from me and my problem, or me and the world, to the wisdom mind seeing the way things are, right there, there's a spaciousness, a simplicity, a freedom. A brightness, a completeness. And when that change of perspective is realized, when that letting go and its effect is experienced, is known to the fullest extent possible, let that really enter the heart, let that be fully known, what life is like when the eye-making and mind-making habits are dropped, when there's the causes of alienation and insecurity, the habits of me and mine are dropped, when the heart lets go and recognizes this is feeling, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. That's all. Notice how that feels. Really attend to that quality that has. Notice the difference, the contrast between that spacious, bright simplicity and the tension, the stress, the sense of isolation or insecurity that comes with the habitual attachment to things that we're doing, places that we're going, thoughts dwelling on our past, our future, our story. Just let the contrasting qualities, those two qualities of experience, be known. The mind in the state of clinging feels like this. The mind free of clinging is like this. And when this contrast is fully known, then the heart naturally inclines towards non-attachment, disentanglement, to letting go of the habits of ego-based identification, or the eye-making, mind-making, because the other is so attractive, peace is so delightful, freedom is so pleasant, the heart naturally inclines towards it, and away from causing further entanglement, further alienation, tension. The heart naturally inclines to nibbana, to peacefulness. We don't have to make it happen, force it in any way.